beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we all know the saying, been there, done that. And also the more modern version of that expression, been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. In 1999, an English activist, Petra Rivoli, did it the other way around. First, she got the T-shirt, and then she spent 5 years working backwards to find out where her T-shirt came from. Rivoli discovered that the cotton for a T-shirt was grown in the United States of America, where it was picked by illegal immigrants who had no health insurance and who were paid well below the minimum wage. The cotton was then transported to China on a ship that was registered in the Philippines, so that the crew was massively underpaid. In China, the shirts were put together in sweatshops by children who were allowed just 2 washroom breaks per day and whose wages were food, clothing and a place to sleep. Rivoli concluded that everywhere was injustice and in many places there was blatant abuse. And so, Rivoli argued, it is no wonder that decent people from all over the world are protesting against globalisation. And it is not surprising that in England and in Germany, angry protesters would tear clothes off the rack. They would destroy those clothes, clothes that were made in India, in China, or in the Philippines. Those protesters were angry because there was so much injustice and exploitation and abuse. And of course, what all these protesters were doing was illegal, but they really did not care because they were convinced that they were fighting for justice, fighting for the greater good of humankind. And if a law or two was broken in the process, they really did not care. And now these protesters, brothers and sisters, these protesters who were breaking the law, they argue that they are imitating Jesus. Those protesters say, Jesus was not afraid to break a few rules, was he? When Jesus healed the man who was sitting beside the pool of Bethesda, for example, Jesus did that on the Sabbath day. And Jesus even told the man to pick up his mat and walk, to move house on the Sabbath day. And when the Jews were offended, the Lord Jesus did not apologize. Jesus did not say, yes, I can see your point. It was the Sabbath day and perhaps I should have been a bit more careful and I am sorry that I offended you. Jesus certainly did not promise that he would never do it again. Instead, Jesus answered by pointing an accusing finger at the Pharisees. And Jesus told them that their attitude was totally wrong. And so it seems as if Jesus cares more about healing. It seems as if Jesus cares more about loving your neighbours, while the Pharisees were more concerned about sticking to the rules. And so we ask, shouldn't we be more like Jesus? Shouldn't we also throw away the rule book and do good like Jesus did also on the Sunday? This is the argument of many Christians today. But beloved congregation, we will see this afternoon that this is absolutely not what our text is about. We will see this afternoon that Jesus might have broken the law in our text. Indeed, Jesus might have broken the law. I say this carefully. Jesus might have broken the law. And then I point out, it's in the same way as the priest in the temple. he also desecrated the Sabbath day when he worked in the temple on the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus explained that in Matthew 12. We just read that together. The Lord Jesus said that when the priest works in the temple on the Sabbath day, then he desecrates the Sabbath day. But then we would also point out, even if Jesus broke the law, Jesus certainly did not break the law so that we might copy his example and break the law as well. Instead, if Jesus broke the law, if Jesus desecrated the Sabbath day, then Jesus broke the law so that we might keep the law. And then Jesus desecrated the Sabbath day so that we might remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme. Jesus defends himself against the charge of sinning against the fourth commandment. He defends himself by claiming to be God. And we pay attention to 2 points. Because Jesus is God, Jesus is always working. And because Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus must always follow his Father's example. Jesus defends himself against the charge of sinning against the fourth commandment by claiming to be God. We see first that because Jesus is God, Jesus is always working. Now, in verse 16 we read, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath day, the Jews began to persecute him. And that means, apparently, healing this man by the pool of Bethesda is not the only thing, or even the first thing that Jesus did on the Sabbath day. It is not as if Jesus once crossed the line and immediately the Pharisees were all over him. Instead, Jesus was doing these things. Jesus was doing things of this nature, things like this, multiple times on the Sabbath day. At the first time, possibly even the second time, we hear nothing about a reaction from the Jews. But after a while, the Jews see in Jesus a trend, a pattern of behaviour that they don't like. Jesus is doing stuff on the Sabbath day, and they think it's wrong. And they say, enough already. This has to stop. And now we need to think carefully for a moment, brothers and sisters. Because when we talk about working on Sunday, we usually distinguish between necessary work and unnecessary work. Doctors and nurses and farmers with milking cows or chicken farmers, these people must work on Sundays. If a man is sick, for example, or in pain or dying, the doctor cannot wait until Monday before he operates. And cows also need to be milked on Sunday. No argument. There is a rule for you and for me and for all Christians. There is a rule, and that rule is we should not work on Sunday. But we understand that there are some exceptions. There is some work that needs to be done even on Sunday. And now we go back to our text for this afternoon. For the Lord, healing on the Sabbath day and doing miracles on the Sabbath day, for the Lord Jesus, that is not an exception. That happens only in emergencies. The Lord does not make an effort to restrict his work to just 6 days a week so that he can keep the Sabbath day holy by not working on the Sabbath day. Think about this. Just imagine, at the beginning of John 5, imagine that invalid from the pool of Bethesda. See him coming to the emergency department at Chilliwack Hospital on a Sunday morning. Emergency department, right? Imagine the nurse at the desk asking him how long he had been sick. And he answers, I have been in this condition for 38 years. I have been in this condition since 1977. Now I need emergency help. Surely the nurse would say, no, sir, come back tomorrow. This is not an emergency. Surely the nurse would say, you can wait just as well until Monday. This is not an emergency. And so we understand, when the Jews challenge Jesus, because Jesus is doing these things, these miracles, these healings on the Sabbath day, then Jesus does not answer, this was an emergency, and so it could not wait. This time, Jesus does not say that there are occasions when it is okay to break the rules and to work on Sunday. Instead, the Lord Jesus says, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. That means God's commandment about resting on the Sabbath day, that commandment does not apply to God, because God is always working even on the Sabbath day, and therefore the commandment to not work on the Sabbath day does not apply to Jesus either. Jesus says, you Israelites, for you, the rule is that you must work for 6 days and then you must rest on the Sabbath day. But my Father in heaven is working 7 days a week. And because he is my Father, and because I am his Son, I must always work just like he does. You Israelites, you keep on remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, says Jesus, but I will not. You must remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, because you are the people of God. But I live by a different rule, because I am the God of my people. And think about what this means, brothers and sisters. As a rule, when we talk about Christian lifestyle, we often use Jesus as an example. Paul writes in Philippians 2 that our attitude towards our neighbours should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What Jesus did, we should do. And Paul writes somewhere else, imitate me just like I imitate Christ. And in this line we think of those bangles that were all the rage 20 years ago, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Especially younger Christians, they used to wear these WWJD bangles to help them make good choices. Because when they were going out and having fun, when they were in places where they probably should not really be, then their bangle on their wrist, WWJD, helped them to stop and think, what would Jesus do? They asked themselves, would Jesus feel comfortable in this place? Would Jesus be amused by this kind of jokes? And so, what Jesus would have done was the accepted standard for our behaviour. But now our text reminds us, brothers and sisters, our text reminds us that we cannot do everything that Jesus did. Indeed, we may not do everything that Jesus did, because Jesus is God. God is the rule maker, and Jesus is God. Jesus is our Saviour, and we are being saved. So Jesus stands above the law, and we stand under the law. And so, in many ways, Jesus must always be different from us. And actually, when we understand what Jesus says in our text, we will never be jealous, as if Jesus was allowed to work on Sundays, but we are not. And we will never feel jealous either of our unbelieving neighbours who do as they please on Sundays while we cannot. Brothers and sisters, hear the gospel in our text. Jesus says in our text, "My dear children, if you do not work on the Sabbath day, if you have a day of rest every week, where does your rest come from? How is it possible that you don't have to work on Sundays, but you can rest instead? Don't you understand," says Jesus, "don't you understand that you can rest on the Sabbath day because God is working 24/7? Don't you understand that you can rest because God is caring for you and God is providing for you? Every Sunday, you can put aside your worries about your mortgage and your credit card. Every Sunday, you can forget about the pressures of life. You can rest because you can give all your problems and all your burdens over to your Father in heaven, and He cares for you 24/7. And while your Father in heaven is working, looking after your paycheck and putting bread on your table, while your Father in heaven is doing all that for you," says Jesus, "I am also God. And so it makes sense that I am also busy. I am working even on Sundays, taking away your sins and taking away all the burdens that come from your fall into sin. My project," says Jesus, "my project of giving you salvation and eternal rest is my full-time job. And so it really is not a coincidence that Jesus heals on the Sabbath day, because in this way, Jesus connects our rest. Jesus connects our Sabbath rest to His work. Jesus says, my children, because I work, you can rest. Jesus says, your Sabbath rest and your Sabbath joy is not possible because you work hard on the other 6 days. Instead, your Sabbath rest and your Sabbath joy is possible because of my work. So even today, Jesus comes to us in Chilliwack and He says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, because I am working all the time. Come to me and I will give you rest." And this is what our Sunday is all about. If I tell you that you must be in church on Sunday, or if I say to you, you may not work on Sunday, then you can answer me. You can say, these rules are legalistic. You can even accuse me of talking like a Pharisee. This is the legalistic way that the Pharisees argued. They reasoned, we have a covenant with God, and if we keep the covenant, if we obey the rules, then we are doing our bit, and so we are earning God's blessing. For the Pharisees, resting on the Sabbath day was a matter of works righteousness, a way to earn salvation. And so, when Jesus answers in our text, Jesus does not say, relax the rules. Jesus does not say, it's okay to work on Sunday. Instead, Jesus says, my dear children, when you put your work aside on the Sunday, when you come to church to worship me, then you are living by my grace. You can do that because you can trust that God is working. God is working, and therefore you can rest. Opening our hearts to God, opening our hearts to the grace of God, we come to God in worship. When God commands us to rest from our work on Sunday, we are reminded one more time of what it means to be born again, what it means to be children of God. We cannot rely on ourselves. We cannot rely on our works. Instead, being born again, like newborn babies, we depend totally on the grace of God. He gives and we receive. He works and we rest. That is what the Sunday is all about. It's about depending on Him who works all the time. That is our first point. In our second point, we will now consider the Lord's claim that because He is the Son of God, He must always follow God's example. Jesus explains in verse 17 that He works on the Sabbath day. Obviously, He works on the Sabbath day because His Father is always working as well. And then in verse 19, the Lord explains that working on the Sabbath day is not His only way of imitating His Father. Instead, says Jesus, I have got a rule. I have got a pattern in my life. And that rule is, I can do nothing by myself. Instead, I can only do what I see my Father doing. Jesus can never take the initiative. Jesus can never make a move by Himself. Instead, Jesus can only watch His Father. Jesus can only see what His Father is doing. And then Jesus can only follow the example. In the line of this statement, it is often assumed that when Jesus grew up in Nazareth, Jesus was a carpenter. After all, Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter. And so Jesus probably learned the art of carpentry from his father. A child learns from his parents. The son of Joseph does the kind of trade which his father does. That is possible. But what our text says is something different. Jesus is the Son of God. And so in every way, Jesus is like His Heavenly Father. That is not possible. That is not debatable. That is definite. Jesus was in every way like His Heavenly Father. And now what Jesus is talking about here is the Trinity, brothers and sisters. Jesus is talking about His relationship with His Heavenly Father. We know the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And we believe that Jesus as God is equal to the Father in every respect. God the Father is almighty, and God the Son is almighty as well. God the Father is infinite and eternal. God the Son is infinite and eternal as well. And so, when Jesus says in verse 19 of our text, when Jesus says that the Son can do nothing by Himself, but He can only do what He sees His Father doing, it sounds as if Jesus is saying that He is not almighty. God the Father can do anything, but God the Son cannot do anything. Instead, He can only do what He sees His Father doing. God the Father can do anything, but God the Son can only do what He sees His Father doing. That doesn't sound very equal, does it? So, to understand the gospel in our text, we should think about how two different people might react when they come to the pool of Bethesda on that Sabbath day. Remember the story from this morning, the story in John 5? That man, that paralytic, who was sitting beside a pool, who had been there for 38 years. Imagine two different people coming to that man on the Sabbath day. One person might say, how horrible. I must help him. And so I will help him. But another person might say, yes, I can see this man has needs, but today is the Sabbath day. And so I will leave him be, and I can come back to help him tomorrow. Different persons with different personalities can make different choices. Different persons with different personalities can make different choices. And this rule explains why Jesus did heal the invalid by the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day. Why did Jesus heal that man on the Sabbath day? The answer is because Jesus is the Son of God. And when Jesus was still in heaven, Jesus saw his Father pour out his love on his people. The Son of God saw his Father pour out his love on his people in the time of Abraham and Moses, in the time of David and Hezekiah. The Son of God saw his Father pour out his love on his people. And so in our text, since the Son of God saw his Father do all this in the Old Testament times, now when Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day, when Jesus sees that invalid, what will Jesus do? What will Jesus do? Will Jesus look the other way and leave that man in his broken condition? Jesus says in verse 19, no way. Jesus says, I could not do that. I could not do that. Because my Father in heaven has taught me a different way to live and a different way to be. I could not do that. Because my Father in heaven taught me to love and to care and to heal and to give life. I am just like my Father, and so I must do what my Father in heaven has taught me to do. I cannot do anything else. The Son of God cannot do anything by himself. Instead, he can only be like his Father. He can only do what he has seen the Father doing. Because he is God, because he is just the same as his Father. Jesus is God, and Jesus does what God does. This is the reason why Jesus healed the invalid on the Sabbath day. And if Jesus heals on the Sabbath day, because Jesus can do nothing by himself, because he can only do what he sees the Father doing, this explains everything that Jesus did when he was on earth. Like verse 20 says, God the Father has no secrets from his Son. Instead, God the Father shows his Son everything that he does. This is what the Father does. This is what makes him a Father. A Father shows his Son what he does. And as the Son of God, Jesus does nothing by himself. But he only does what he sees his Father doing. That is what makes a son. And this brings us right back to the beginning of John's Gospel, to chapter 1, where John said that nobody has ever seen God, but the Son of God has made God known. This is the reason why Jesus came to earth, to show us the grace and the truth and the love and the holiness of God. Could Jesus make God known if Jesus was different from the Father? Could Jesus make God known if Jesus took it easy on the Sabbath day? If Jesus would sit back to receive the grace of God on the Sabbath day? instead of being the ultimate giver, the permanent giver? Could Jesus make God known if Jesus did not care desperately about sinners and tax collectors, about prostitutes? If Jesus did not care desperately for the blind, for the invalids and for the dying? Oh, beloved congregation, Jesus did not come down from heaven and look around and choose to care for people and choose to be patient and kind and choose to cry when Lazarus died. Instead, our text says, Jesus could do nothing by himself. Jesus could only do what God does. Jesus did everything before our eyes to show us who God is. And when we think about this, we see how terribly wrong it is to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament, as if the God of the Old Testament is a bully, a killing bully, and somehow less than the God of the New Testament, who is all about love, as if the Son of God is somehow more loving or more gracious than the God of the Old Testament. The Son of God tells us in John 5 that he saw everything that his Father did at Sodom, at Gomorrah, in the days of Abraham. The Son of God saw everything that his Father did to the Egyptians in the land of Egypt in the days of Moses. The Son of God saw everything that his Father did to the Canaanites and to the Babylonians and to the Assyrians and even to the Israelites. The Son of God saw it all. And when the Son of God came down to earth, when he ate with tax collectors and sinners, when he told the parable of the Good Shepherd and the parable of the lost sheep, the Son of God did nothing by himself. Instead, all the time, in every circumstance, he did exactly what he saw his Father doing. Whatever the Father did, whatever the Father did in the Old Testament, the Son does also. Because God is one, and the Son of God came down from heaven on Christmas Day to do what his Father does, to show the world who the Father is, so that today we know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in every miracle that Jesus did, in every parable that Jesus told, we meet God the Father. So, whatever we think of God, in whatever way we understand God, we need to adjust our understanding of God. Indeed, we need to adjust our understanding of the Old Testament God, so that our picture of God matches what we see in Jesus Christ. Because there is only one God, and that God is Jesus Christ. And whatever Jesus does, God does. Whatever Jesus would never do, God would never do. That is the glorious message of our text. Oh, beloved congregation, what Jesus says in our text, can we understand it all perfectly? Surely Jesus had to obey God's law. Jesus was under the law. But in our text, when Jesus is challenged with respect to the fourth commandment, should Jesus not remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Should Jesus really be healing on the Sabbath day? When Jesus is asked the question, Jesus does not argue the way that we might argue. Jesus does not agree that he should really not work on Sunday, but healing the invalid by the pool of Bethesda was an emergency that could not wait. Jesus does not agree, yes, we should be careful that we don't break the Sabbath day. Instead, Jesus says, children of God, you should not work on the Sabbath day. Instead, you should remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. but I must work always, just like my Father in heaven is working always. God is always working so that we can rest. God is always providing, always caring, so that we don't have to worry. Indeed, it is because God is working that we can rest and we can celebrate God's gift of salvation. And so we obey God and we honour God when we don't work on Sundays, when we rest and we worship God instead. Then God gives us what we need to live by his grace. God gives, we receive. God works, we rest. And then in our second point, we saw what it means that the Son of God can do nothing by himself. Instead, he can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. And so he is exactly the same as his Father. He loves and he cares and he works just like his Father does. Because the Son of God is a perfect image of his Father, he came down from heaven and made the Father known to us. So when we know Jesus Christ, we know God. When we love Jesus Christ, we love God. To him, to God, the only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to him be glory forevermore. Amen.